Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, emotion and logic are two things that don't necessarily work well together, but it influences our behavior and our decision-making, right? And I'm talking in all aspects of our lives, not just when making financial decisions.
Yeah, when you look at, and we'll start with the financial part, when you look at what's happening in the markets and all this gyration, the jitters kick in, there's an emotional reaction. The election that we just had, that caused a reaction. This pandemic, there's a reaction. You know, there's so many things that go on that, that people have this kind of reaction. And so how do you kind of work between the worlds of emotion and logic?
And can you? Well, we don't know the answer to that question, but we think we know somebody that does.
Okay, let's go for
it. All right. We've got Dr. Bryn Weingard back with us again today, and we're happy to have her. She's a business brain expert. Dr. Bryn, we've got to try to address this idea of the logic emotion connection, if there is one. So let me just start with a maybe a really straightforward question that may not have a straightforward answer. If somebody gets themselves into an emotional state, can they use, or can somebody external to them use, logic to help overcome that?
It's a great question, Dave, and the short answer is no, they can't. One of the things that we know to be true, and I know you and we've talked about before, is the fact that the subconscious brain, we think, is about 99% of processing altogether. And in that subconscious are the emotional centers of the brain. Now, that 1% that I'm not talking about is where we think most logical, rational thought happens. And if you're a fan of, as an example, economist David Kahneman, what you would find out is that, you know, there is a system one and a system two that he talks about. He says basically system two is what I'm going to call the conscious part, the 1% of processing. System one is that subconscious stuff that is highly schematic. It's highly rote. It's very error prone, but it's also where emotion lies. And so what I sometimes joke on stage, or I'll tell you now, is that in the David and Goliath fight between the conscious and the non-conscious, Goliath wins every time. And so what we see is that, in fact, the subconscious will override what we think are conscious, rational, logical centers of the brain always. And one of the things that I often ask people to do as an exercise to understand how this really works, you've often changed your mind before. So if you show up to the ice cream parlor and they have chocolate and ice cream, and you show up thinking, yeah, I'm definitely going in for chocolate, but then you see how good the vanilla looks, you may well order that vanilla. You changed your mind before. However, if I show up to you in the midst of an emotional, you know, overthrow, and you're frustrated, you're irritated, you're angry, you're feeling hostile, and I said, okay, now, but just change that, will you? Just stop feeling what you're feeling. There's no way to do that. And so, you know what you're feeling. You're not going to change it. In fact, you're more likely to want to hit me than you are to change how you're feeling, irritated, hostile, whatever. And so what we know is that a lot of that conscious, logical, rational stuff is happening in, yeah, a few neurons that are easy to sort of toggle how they work. The emotional stuff is a lot more visceral. And so by that, I literally mean physiological as well. So it involves the whole body and its neuromolecular processes. And so when we look at that, you know, you can change your mind pretty easily. Very hard to change how you feel.
So, you know, what's one thing that an individual can do to kind of identify that they're having a visceral reaction, not a, well, this is just logical. So I'll give you an example. Dave walks in that ice cream shop. He wants that chocolate ice cream, but he's in an angry mood walking into that store, and he knows he's having chocolate, and someone says vanilla. And how does he know that he's having a visceral reaction as he's walking into the store before the reaction actually happens?
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the ways is that you physically feel it. So you will feel it physically through your whole self. It won't just be something that is cerebral that, you know, you can cognitively, objectively mull over. And the second is that you will feel probably fairly physically uncomfortable. And so one of the things that I often say is that emotions are functional in the sense that they are designed to make you feel uncomfortable enough to act in your own self-interest. And so what that is really a biological imperative to feel so uncomfortable, you'll do something about it for yourself. And so you will know you're in an emotional state if you physically feel uncomfortable, whereas logical information doesn't typically engage to the point where, in rational thought as an example, doesn't typically engage you so physically that you feel uncomfortable. You're not uncomfortable yet. You're still just mulling over facts. So we know that it hasn't reached emotional centers. You're not feeling viscerally, physiologically, you know, it's not got there yet if you're not feeling physically uncomfortable.
At the beginning of this this segment, we were talking about some external issues that have come up, the pandemic, an election, markets falling back and forth. There are people that react to these things where they don't have control over it. You know, normally walking into an ice cream shop and you know you're in a bad mood or something's happened to you, you know why you're having a reaction. But there are times where things happen in your life that you don't know why you're having this reaction. How do you kind of get your head around the fact that, you know, I'm having a reaction to something that maybe not be the thing that I'm having a reaction to? So I'll give an example. In the recent federal election, we had people come up to us and have the most weirdest conversations with us about what could happen in this world because of this election. And it didn't make any logical sense. I am confused when they talk to me about this stuff, but they actually have this visceral reaction. So how do you determine that the topic that you're having about is the reason for the reaction versus something else?
That's challenging. And we do see, to your point, a lot of bleed in terms of where we think there are false causal relationships or false causal understandings about where this emotion resonated from or originated from. To your point, you know, when we see that start to happening, that's basically an example of polarized thinking, of catastrophic thinking. That's definitely a person who's thoroughly engaged in their emotional centers. And those false causal relationships, or those, you know, what we would sort of think heuristically, that seems like two things are connected that are not connected. That is typically those errors we start to see go up when someone is particularly, you know, stressed or under duress. And so the brain under duress or under VUCA circumstances, volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous circumstances, starts to do and dissociate things differentially, and frankly, fairly unpredictably. We don't know exactly where those thought patterns will go. But what it is that discomfort, that emotion, it's energy. And that energy has to go somewhere. And so humans are wonderful at trying to rationalize why they're feeling what they're feeling. And they'll look for anything in their environment and try to marry it or map it on to try to understand, why do I feel so uncomfortable?
I think, Dr. Brennan, we're going to explore in the next segment a little bit about some things that people might be able to do, right? So I can certainly think in my own life where things have come up and I've gone to the really dark place, right? You go to that extreme thinking and, you know, almost never does the extreme happen. So are there things that people can do either internally or perhaps guys like you and me, like if we're dealing with somebody in an emotional state that, financial or whatever, there's some trigger there. Is there something that we can do to help support that emotional state to get them back to a place of a balance or, you know, a peace of mind or whatever the case may be? I do want to explore that. But before we do that, listen, this is all part and parcel of the experience people are going to have in retirement. This is how we operate our lives, right? This is how we live. So it's important that we can tie all of this stuff together along with the math, along with making sure that people have the data points necessary to know that they're going to be okay and be able to live the lifestyle they want. We're going to talk about that at our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, that'll be on Tuesday, November 16th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
So, Dr. Brennan, if you'll stick around for the next segment, I would very much love to get some idea. We know the problem, right? There's not necessarily a direct connection between emotion and logic, and we know that we're emotional beings, not logic, as much as you and I try to be logical, right? How do we actually cope with this, and how do we turn it to our favor? Use our superpower for good, not for evil. After the break, you're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.